You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 166. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who made everything wait so he could take a sip of his coffee, John Brownstone.
That's damn right.
That is so on brand. This week, we're talking about those times when a submissive might want to be dominated through a situation and give up all control, but that's not really an option. It's called My Life. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us, and those reviews really, really do help, as does the moments when you share us with your Facebook group, your Kick group, your WhatsApp group, wherever you're talking to kinky people. We get found by more people who are like, oh, I heard about you. And then they come and join.
Kind of sounds like we get around.
We do get around. I'd like to get around a lot more. I'm just saying, I'm that kind of girl. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS the number one, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Thursday. All links are in the show notes. And that sound in the background is my... what's his name? Right, John Brownstone. Remembering that a door was open.
Not anymore.
We're real professionals around here.
I need a gaffer assistant is what
yes,
I need.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need a podcast sub.
Yes.
Yes, that's what you need.
Yes.
A big shout out to our kinky patrons, as always, on Patreon. We've had several people join over the past couple weeks,
yeah.
And we love you, love you, love you. If you want to help us do more of what we do, you can join for as little as $1 a month, and you get access to extra content. You get sneak peeks of the stuff we're doing, all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff. You can find us there at patreon.com/KaylaLords or use the link in the show notes. If you try to search for us on Patreon, maybe you do Patreon for other things, you will not find us. We're marked NSFW. We don't come up in search. So patreon.com/KaylaLords or just use the link in the show notes. So this week's topic is yet again inherently personal because it happened to us. But here's how I look at things.
Yeah, it did.
Just when it happens to us, that tells me that it happens to all kinds of people. So yeah. I do not speak for all submissives. I never speak for all submissives. There will be some submissives out there who have never experienced this before, but I know I'm not the only one. And that is that moment when you're going through something and you think, I really just wish somebody would tell me what the hell to do. And that is actually not the right answer to the problem. You cannot be dominated through it, even though you'd kind of like to be. You're thinking, wait a moment, I'm submissive. Isn't this what I'm here for? There are those problems in life you cannot be dominated through. And as I would remind the lovely dominant sitting next to me, cannot dominate your submissive through everything, which we have talked about before.
Yes.
When we've talked about my mental health in past episodes, we've definitely figured that out.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I can't be dommed through anxiety. It just doesn't work that way.
No, if you're having one of those moments, there is nothing that I can do other than offer support.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is not that much different, I think, than that. And in my case, what brought this to mind and made me want to talk about it and was the most recent episode of somebody tell me what to do. Oh, wait, that's right. You can't. I need that on the t-shirt, too. Was partly a mental health episode. I was going through some high anxiety. And unfortunately, I think anybody else who goes through anxiety might recognize this. Sometimes you're like, am I actually worried or is this anxiety? How can you tell the difference? Mm. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. It's definitely about us, but I think it relates to other people. So hopefully if you've ever found yourself in this situation, you'll find something useful for the future. And if nothing else, if you are a submissive who's been through that, whether it's because you're single and you just don't even have a dominant partner, which that's very common, or it's a situation that DS just can't apply to, that you feel a little less alone, you're not the only one. You're never the only one, ever. So I guess let's go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
Let's see. I've pulled my script, which there's only two lines of the script. Here's what happened to Kayla. Here's how John Brownstone handled it. That's the outline. So the situations where I cannot be dominated through them, like you cannot put your daddy hat on or your big D hat on, have been, and we've talked about this, and we've talked about this in many episodes, actually, about the fact that I work from home, and I basically run my own business, and we together run our own business. And we did talk about it several weeks ago that ideally what would happen is you would take more of the leadership role and be the big D in our mutual business.
Right.
But even within that, there are things I cannot be dominated through.
Right.
Now, I was thinking about this because so here's what happens to me when I really want to not be in control and I don't really have a choice. Like, you always have choices. You can decide just to not deal with the thing and not do the thing that's like weighing you down. And that, in my experience, is when the world comes crashing down around your ears. And I don't like that feeling either. But I lost my train of thought. No, I was thinking about the way we do operate already.
Mm-hmm.
So you give me boundaries.
Yeah.
And we talked about this in the service submission episode. I love boundaries because tell me what the parameters are and then I'm going to move wildly and freely within those boundaries.
Right.
And I will get stuff done, but I will hopefully not go outside those boundaries. I can have the opportunity to surprise you and excite you with, oh, look, I did this thing, right?
Well, there are boundaries that are meant to be pushed.
Right.
And then there's boundaries that are meant to remain within the...
Right, and those are the boundaries I'm sort of referring to. I'm actually not really a boundary pusher. It's way too anxious for all that. So my big issue is that in business, I kind of can't be dominated. First of all, that's where my dominant energy comes out. That's where I like to be in control.
Right.
I like not having a boss. I like, you know, yeah, I have to take care of the clients I work for and do what they want, but I do it under my own terms and in my own way. But I'm also an anxious person, so I constantly worry, am I doing this right? Am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? What does this mean? What does that mean? And I found myself in this place where it's all business related. We've got to make some big decisions because some things just are not sustainable. And there are other things we want to do and we all only get 24 hours in a day. So
is that it?
Yeah. And we have to make choices about what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. So I've got all this stuff in my head. So there's the anxiety right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the answers are. And because it pertains to work that only I do, it's not the work we do together. It's the stuff I am in charge of. I have to control. I have to decide. Nobody else can make these decisions for me. That is where I tend to crumble and fall. Now, I'm talking work-related, being a freelancer, running my own thing, you know, hashtag girl boss or whatever. But that can relate to anything. It can relate to the classes you take at night. It can relate to how you have to raise a child. It can relate to how you have to take care of a parent or somebody you are a caregiver for. There are things in our lives that only we can really make those decisions. We can get help. We can get outside opinions. But nobody can just say, you have to do it this way because there's too many variables. There's too many things that everything has to line up just so in order for that decision to work. Well, that might work for today, but what about tomorrow? And we are all adults and we all have to figure out these things. And we're all just really, truly just figuring out. We don't actually, any of us know what the hell we're doing. We're pretending. Okay. That is the secret to adulting. I told the 13-year-old that. I'm like, let me tell you the secret of being an adult. None of us know what the fuck we're doing. We are all just making it up as we go along. And he looked a little shell-shocked. dropped a bomb on his head. I was like, yeah, that's the truth. And I'm in that place right now where...
So that's the adult conspiracy.
Yes. And that's where I am in my personal business, in my work life. And we have tried in the past for you to dominate and to make decisions. And what we found was that what I was saying moments ago, and I lost all train of thought, was that boundaries work better than rules.
Yes.
So I was thinking about this when I was thinking about this week we've been in. So you can't tell me that I have to work on this client's work before I work on that client's work. You can't tell me that this is when I should do this kind of work and save this other kind of work for this time. Like, you cannot do that. It won't work.
It does not work.
Right. These are decisions I have to make based on my energy levels, based on my deadlines, based on so many things that I would spend a 40-hour work week just explaining it. in order to get the decision. It would make no sense. But what you have done is you've created the boundaries so that I know what time we have to get up. Now, I know that anyway, because we've got children who go to school and we have errands and we have appointments and I'm a functioning adult. I know what time to wake up. But you also determine what time we go to bed.
Right.
So that is not when I stop working. I'm better than I used to be. But that is a time I keep in my head of if I want to have any time to sit down and just like veg out, I have to remember what time we're going to bed. You decide what time we have dinner.
Yeah.
Which that is, if it's not a full stop for the day, that is, oh, you better have wrapped up wherever you're at so you can
Be at a stopping point. Yeah.
Right.
Or and you're going hungry.
Exactly. No, you wouldn't do that to me. You have lightly instituted expectations, say rules, of do not eat your lunch at your desk.
Yes.
Eat an actual lunch.
Correct.
Stop and take a few minutes. And I'm better at that than I used to be.
You are. And that was part of the reason for when we worked out the dog walking schedule. You get the middle of the day.
Is that?
Yeah. So that way you get out from behind your desk.
For at least 15 minutes a day. Right. Yeah. So you have done that. And with my acknowledgement, except I didn't realize what he was doing with the dog walking thing, I just thought it made more sense. You mind fuck me left and right at every turn. And I don't even see it. I don't even know it. Puppet master. Okay. So you've set rules, expectations, restrictions, boundaries that I work within. And within that space of time, those blocks of time, I control it. And that's what I like. That's, if I wanted a boss, I'd go work somewhere that probably offered me insurance benefits. So what? I don't want a boss. And that I think would sound very strange to people who are either very new to DS or have very specific types of DS relationships. You are not my boss. You are the leader.
Yeah.
You are in control. You are not my boss. And I don't think we would work if you tried to be my boss.
No, we wouldn't.
Now,
Because we, and we've said this in past episodes too, we are equals.
Yes. Two sides of a coin.
Two sides of a coin. We are equals with a negotiated power exchange.
Absolutely. And I think that for some people in some relationships, it does work if the dominant is the boss. Some people really like a certain level of micromanagement. Right. They want to, when they say they want to give up all control, that is what they mean. I'm still skeptical that you can ever truly give up all ounce of control, but I'm sure there's somebody out there who's making it work. But for us, it is... I was thinking Clash of Titans. That's not quite what I meant. Clash of equals. We are equal, but I defer to you. I choose to say, okay, no, you're in charge. I'll step back. And yet, where it makes sense, I'm in charge. But I'm in new territory right now. And it is triggering my anxiety, which I think for me, that's where a lot of this is coming from. And it's also sometimes, as we all will, if you haven't figured out yet in life, you will give it time. We're going to come across new things in our lives where we don't know what the hell to do. There's no instruction manual. There's no instruction manual for any of it. I don't care how many articles you read on the internet that tell you 10 ways to do this thing by Tuesday. None of that works. And you're figuring it out as best you can with what you've got. And I think we all, at some point, even if it's not something we would consciously admit or even just admit out loud to anybody else, I think sometimes we all want somebody just to tell us what the hell we're supposed to do. Like, how am I supposed to make this work? How am I supposed to figure out this thing? I've had those moments many times in life. But it was within the boundaries of this relationship where having that thought felt like I was wrong somehow. Or that realizing that I wanted you to make the decision for me, but that you couldn't. It didn't work that way for us. That then I felt like maybe something was wrong. Because, wait, if I'm a submissive, I should just hand over my problem to my daddy and he will solve it. Not always.
This was not a problem that I would have been able to solve.
No.
All right? If I had done what you wanted and told you what to do,
I see that being going very badly.
Yeah. And yeah. It would have gone very badly, very fast.
Well, and here's the thing. And this is something I have learned through our time together. There have been a couple of times I've said, just tell me what to do. And you've tried much smaller scenarios, not mm-hmm. like my entire business life. And it's worked for about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then the moment it didn't work, I either didn't want to admit that it wasn't working, or I got frustrated, or I felt like a failure, or it was back to you every moment. And that's just not a level of micromanaging either of us want.
Right.
But I do contend, I do truly believe that there are, they might be rare depending on your dynamic, but that there are situations you DS will not solve these things. They're not your stereotypical DS. Because I have a whole list of things that you did through that situation mm-hmm. that by the end of it, I was in a much better place.
Right.
And I still have to deal with the crap, because part of it was I also realized I had screwed up and I had to pay the piper on that one mm-hmm. and deal with the consequences if I hadn't screwed up. Hate that. But you didn't come in as daddy or as dominant.
I did not come in as a fixer.
No. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's the distinction, because a lot of the things you did are things that I would say, oh, that's what a dominant does, but it's also what a good partner does, regardless of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So in our specific situation, there I am, like crumbling. Like I lost all energy. I lost an entire evening of work, which I do not have time to lose
you,
an evening
you
of work.
You were laying on the sofa that night. And you
looking pitiful.
Oh,
looking
you
so
look
pitiful.
You looked as little could be.
I was cuddling right? with the
yeah.
couch.
And I mean, you were just like all scrunched
so
up
pitiful.
and you had this look on your face. And
pitiful.
It was.
It was like the saddest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm going, I just want somebody to tell me what the hell to do. What's the right answer? I mm-hmm. don't know what the right answer is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
And it was like an hour before we normally go
two
to bed.
Hours.
Two hours?
8:10.
Okay.
Yeah, it was way early.
Yeah. And you were like, Daddy, I want to go to bed.
I just want to go to bed.
And it was like, in that instant, I knew. Because you are normally begging, Daddy, just a little longer. Daddy, a little bit more.
I got
more.
A YouTube
Daddy,
video I need to watch. Just a few more minutes.
I'm almost to the end of this chapter. This video is almost done. Daddy, please. So I knew something was not right.
No, I was lost in my own head.
Yeah, you were.
I think that is something that people in general can relate mm-hmm. to. But I know lots of overthinking submissives. You can relate to that, getting lost in your head. I was not knowing what I needed to do. I was feeling lost. I was certainly anxious. And like I said, this might have been part of my own anxiety. And without the anxiety, maybe I would handle this differently. But I've had these feelings enough in the past several years that I know it's a thing I'm going to have to contend with,
mm-hmm.
big or small. So we go lay down. It's early. Like I'm tired, but I'm not fall asleep right now tired. I am. My brain has been overactive and it is exhausted and it can't function anymore tired, which means that I'm not actually ready to go to sleep. I got too much on my mind. And so you have learned, you do this so well. So here's the thing. I'm one of those people that if I tell you something's wrong and I don't immediately start talking about it, I do have to be asked what's wrong, but you cannot come at me. You cannot be aggressive. You cannot demand that I tell you what's on my mind. This INTJ Scorpio does not play that shit, okay? I have to process my own thoughts before I can share mm-hmm. them out loud. So, and if you come at me, then I'm kind of a bitch about it. Because I'm like, I'm not ready to talk yet. And you have learned that it doesn't work that way with me.
Right.
So we're laying in the bed and I'm kind of, you know, the lights are dim. The air is cool. The pressure is off because mm-hmm. we've called an official end to this day. There's no right. way. There's nobody expecting me to work now. There was nobody expecting me to work before, but it's officially over. Some of the stress kind of drains away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to get antsy. I start to be like, well, I'm not ready to sleep. And I want to be with my daddy. But nothing's happening here. And you gave it easily 15 minutes
yeah.
before you said, okay, are you ready to tell me what's going on?
Right.
And it And apparently you really have figured this shit out, because that was like the perfect amount of time. I started talking. Like, it used to be, if he said, okay, what's on your mind? It might take me 10 minutes to get the first word out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's legit a thing that I had to deal with for a long time that he had to deal with too. Now he's got the timing down, and it just, I open my mouth and I think I talked for an hour.
Easily.
Nobody listening to this or watching this will be shocked by that. I wasn't really shocked by it. What I was shocked by was how much was on my mind and mm-hmm. how much I needed to talk it through. And I'll be the person to say, oh, I don't need to talk it through. Maybe I need to journal. Maybe I just need to think a little harder, because that's what I need, is to think a little harder. I know. I don't think one of these days steam's going to come out of my ears from thinking as hard as I do. But the more we talked, at first I got this really antsy feeling, and I think some people can probably relate to this. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about it and I'm not hearing obvious solutions, either in what I'm saying or in your response.
Right.
And what I thought I wanted, and I actually said, I think I laid across your naked lap and said, just tell me what to do. And I believe you laughed.
I did.
Okay. See, I didn't make that up in my head. He laughed.
Yep.
But what you did
instead, what did I do?
Well, you actually, I have a whole list of things you did.
Yeah.
I literally had to write, he did a lot of stuff. So first he just listened. Like, he just listened. I just talked and talked and talked and talked. Nobody is shocked by this. And he listened. Nobody is mm-hmm. shocked that you did that either. You're a very good listener.
I try.
Once I started winding down, or I don't know if anybody else has ever had this happen in a conversation. You've talked and talked and talked, and eventually you're like, okay, I really do need some feedback here. So your voice starts to like be a question. Like, you end all of your sentences like this, like, okay, enter the fray now. What do you think? And so you are a little frustrating with that, because you'll let me talk until I literally just wind down. There's no more words. And then you'll sit there, and then I have to say, what do you think? And then you start talking. And I'm like, but wait, no, what do you think? But maybe that's your evil plot to whatever. And then you did offer your opinion.
Right.
You offered, what's one of the things I love about you, and one of the things I think make good partners in general, sub or dom, but really good doms, is that you were just supportive. You're like, whatever you choose, whatever you decide, I support you. There are certain decisions we do have to talk through. There are things, sure, I don't make those decisions on my own, even though they're my business, related to my business, because my mm-hmm. choices impact the entire household. So we have to talk them through.
Right.
And then you did offer your opinion, but you mostly and you offered some guidance. That was the thing that really struck me. You were like, well, if it was me, I would. Instead of, this is what you need to do. And at the uh-huh. beginning of that conversation, what I thought I wanted was, this is what you need to do. Even though I knew it was impractical. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew that no matter what you said, it wouldn't be quite right. Because you can't possibly know, no matter what I share with you, you can't possibly know every detail.
Right.
And that's the thing. Those situations where you find, if you're in a relationship, and you're realizing that you can't be domed through it. Like, you're like, just somebody tell me what to do. But every time you start imagining it, like, think it through. Once you start imagining what would happen the next time one variable changed, that answer would no longer work. You'd need to be told what to do again and again and again. And unless your dominant has zero life and just a total micromanagement fetish, that's not really practical most of the time. I would say that what we have done, two things happened, and this is where I go back to the power of communication. Even if it's just talking something through to get it out of your head, not necessarily expecting a mm-hmm. solution. In talking about it, I figured out what the root cause of my problem was.
Right.
Which really annoyed me. As with most things, I was the root cause of the problem. It's my own fault. But by figuring that out, I immediately felt better. Like, I stopped feeling so crazy. Like, what is wrong with my head? Why is this mm-hmm. happening? I was like, oh, that's why it's happening. And then once we knew the root problem, then we could focus on it. Yeah. And then we had a thing to focus on. And at that point, you could have told me what to do. And it probably would have worked. But in that ephemeral, I have all these things in my head. I have all these situations. I have all of these variables. More often than not, it is not possible for your dominant to swoop in and just tell you what to do.
Right.
There are some situations they absolutely can. Some things are really concrete, really black and white. It's a this or that. You know, it's this or that. Tell me which one I should do.
Mm-hmm.
But when sometimes we think a problem is, oh, it's this or that. And really when you get into it, it's like, well, it's this except under these 20 circumstances. And it's that except under these 50 circumstances. Tell me which one. Are you freaking kidding me? There are people out there with the talent to be able to piece through all that. That's good for them. I think the rest of us are mere mortals. That does not work. It does not work. I do think, and I especially think this, gently prod the little side of the submissive community. I absolutely understand the need and desire to just be little, to be in little space, to let somebody else make decisions when you're in that headspace. And I don't have like an age I identify with. I actually don't go into little space at all, but I do like have an understanding of it. And when you're in those places, making that work with your dynamic so that your caregiver can make those decisions. And it's, I don't want to call it a scene, but it's kind of like a scene because it's this narrow situation where you are in little space and there's your caregiver making those decisions. Fine. The rest of the time, though, you have to be a functioning adult. Like, we have to get through life. We have to go to the grocery store and decide between this brand of mustard and that brand of mustard. We have to go to our job and decide, this is the path I want to go down in this job. This is the path I want to go down in this job. We have to make decisions all the time. Mm-hmm. That one are not black or white, and two, that no people can help us. Our dominants can guide us. They can give us advice. They can help us talk through it. They can help us look at all the different sides. But ultimately, some decisions have to be made by us as the individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of it. You have to be a functioning adult in the world. None of us feel like we're functioning adults. The few times I've met people who are like, oh, I'm totally a functioning adult. You scratch that surface a little bit, they had just as many wonky issues as the rest of us. They were just faking it better than the rest of us. I am turning 40 this year and I still don't think I've figured out the adulting thing. Like, I'm still like, wait, that's how that works? But that's if you're in a relationship. Then there's the other side of it, because I hear all my single submissive friends out there, well, what the hell? I'm single. Yeah, I'd love to have a dominant tell me what to do. What the hell do I do about that? That's where it gets trickier. That is where it gets trickier, I think. One, it's that time you kind of don't have a choice. You don't have a dominant partner that you trust enough, that you've communicated enough, that is willing to do those things for you. So you are a functioning adult. I think it's good to have kinky friends, though. I mean, we'll go back to the fact that we think online or in person, whatever works for your life, because if your kinky friends are legit, good, decent friends, like if you've got a good, strong community, they can do for you what John Brownstone did for me. Let you talk it through, give you guidance, share their opinion, blah, blah, blah. And then ultimately, you still have to make the decisions for yourself. That is the nature of it. A submissive in or out of a relationship is not helpless. We might want to be or feel helpless in certain situations. We might, depending on how you're wired and how you feel about submission, we might want our dominant partners to control as much as possible. Yes, those things might be true. And they might be really, really true on like a deep, deep level. But we still have to move through this world as adults. Mm-hmm. We still have to make decisions. We still have to be able to do for ourselves. And it's hard and it sucks. And I'm not going to pretend that it's easy, especially when you're a single submissive and you're in a situation where you're like, God, I really just wish somebody would tell me what the hell to do. Really wish somebody would tell me what the hell to do. I would say, because you kind of did this for me in the beginning, before there was anything romantic or anything like that. We're pretty platonic. If you have a dominant little D or big D, person in your life, they're in part of your community, they're somebody you basically trust, they're willing, you know, you can set up a power exchange with anybody who's willing. You right. don't have to be in love with them, married to them, engaged to them, fucking them. Like, you don't have to do all that. They can just be somebody you trust and that you give up a certain amount of control to them that they are willing to take and you negotiate it. And then exactly. in certain situations where you're like, God, I really just need somebody to tell me what to do. That would be great. There they are for you. So that would be another potential solution for single submissives. But in order to get to that point, you have to go make some kinky friends. You have to like have a community of people that you kind of claim as your own.
Right. People that you like and trust.
Yeah. Ideally, they're in person, but that's not necessary anymore.
No.
You can do that online. You can have those
there's
people
chat,
in your life.
There's chat. There's DM. There's Skype. There's so many options as far as that goes. Yeah.
What you cannot do, you should not do, let's say it that way, you should not do, is demand a dominant be your dominant. That's rare, but there are submissives out there who do stuff like that. Don't do that. I would say be very careful about who you approach with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look out for any potential red flags. You want to see if anybody else knows them. Sort of an online vetting. Like in person, in the kinky community, we will vouch or not vouch for somebody. Like that's
right.
sort of a thing you do. That's why you go to the munch, so you can get seen and get known. Mm-hmm. And you know, you ask, oh, I met this person. Does anybody know that person? And invariably somebody knows that person and they have an opinion. We have personally been in conversations where we had to warn somebody off and say, you don't want to mess with that. And so you can, you know, the wider your net in your online community, the little bit easier it is to do. But you can form those relationships as long as the other person is willing. Like the other person has to be willing. And I have talked to several people lately. They've sent me messages with questions. And that's how they started. They were talking on FetLife. They were talking on Facebook. They were talking on Twitter, wherever. And it started out as like maybe a friendly flirtation or a little conversation. And then they started talking about their DS styles. And then it was like, oh, can we do this together? And it was fairly platonic. And then it went further and went further and went further. So that does happen, and that can be an option, even if you're not in a position for something romantic or even interested in something romantic or sexual. You can absolutely pair up with somebody else and get a little bit of that DS that you need. I still think be careful when you find yourself in a situation where in all situations you're like, I just want somebody to tell me what to do. Because even in the situations where you can, where that's what we've negotiated, that I'm like, here, tell me what to do. Even then, you don't always tell me what to do.
Right.
We go through this exact same process of listening, talking about it, thinking it through, looking at the different options, guiding. And then I come up with a decision. And then he goes, that's probably what I would have told you to do.
But see, as much as you wanted me or thought you wanted me
definitely wanted
to tell you what to do,
definitely wanted.
I knew I couldn't.
How do you know that? How do you determine that? I know how you couldn't, but that was in retrospect.
I pretty much knew it once you finally started explaining the situation.
So there was a moment where you were like, oh, well, maybe I can just decide. I can just
tell.
Well,
no, with you, I'm pretty much to the point I need to hear what's going on first before I make any decision.
Well, have you in the past thought, oh, I can make this decision, and then, like, not recently, like in this learning process.
In the past, yes.
Yeah, and then gone, oh, shit, no, this is too complicated.
Right.
Do you think it's complicated because life is inherently complicated or because I complicate things?
Combination.
You were supposed to say life is inherently complicated.
I'm being honest.
I'll give you the script ahead of time next.
Okay. So what it really came down to, what you needed more than anything, was not me to tell you what to do, but someone to guide you to vocalize what was happening and what you were feeling. And in doing that, it allowed you to work everything out yourself.
Do you think, obviously that's not the case in all parts of our dynamic, but do you think that is more often than not an effective tool to use as a dominant? That's what dominance is outside of very narrow specific situations, that it is about coming up with the right answer either together or helping helping a submissive figure out what the right answer is?
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's one way of doing it, or another way of doing it, however you want to look at it.
Well, you utilize multiple methods. There are sometimes you're like, this is what you're doing. And right. Then there are sometimes where you fuck with my head. And then...
Which is fun in and of itself.
I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. And then... But I, you know, in looking back, the decisions that always felt the hardest to figure out,
right,
the biggest, the ones that caused the most anxiety, and y'all, insert your situation here because it's all different for all of us, but we all have those moments where we have no fucking clue what to do. For the biggest moments, I can't remember a moment where you've ever just said, do this.
Very seldom.
Not for the big ones.
Right.
For the big ones, the ones that impact mental health, that impact our lives, that impact our future, that impact our goals, that those big life decisions. And in my experience, that's really where I'm like, I really wish somebody would just tell me what to do because I don't know. I'm clueless. I think that's been your go-to. And I don't want to say that one thing will always work in all situations.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense of it is that is probably where most people should start on those big moments.
On the big moments, oh, yes. I mean, it's not like saying, girl, you've had enough Diet Cokes for one day. You're done.
I don't like it when you say that.
I know you don't, but that's the reality of it sometimes.
Also, Diet Coke could sponsor us. I'd be okay with it. They're not gonna, but I'd be okay with it.
But when it comes to the big things like, you know, talking about moving, talking about getting a new home, you know, things like that. Yes, ultimately I make the decision,
mm-hmm.
but... it is something that needs to be talked about.
Of course.
Because there are so many different facets, so many different considerations to take into account before making a decision.
And I don't disagree, but that's also a situation, me personally, mm-hmm. not speaking for anybody else out there, you wouldn't be allowed to make that decision without me.
See?
Because that affects my life too.
Right.
I have met people like this, so I know they're out there, even though I still have thoughts. I know there are people out there who'll be like, wherever my partner says we're moving to this, we're moving to. I can't imagine it. I'm not wired that way. Because ultimately, I got to live with that decision too. So at the bare minimum, I need to have some input. We need to have a conversation. Yeah. But in situations where I don't... it's not that I don't want to have input. It's that I have put in all the input I can put in, and I am lost and confused and don't feel like there is a clear path forward.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's a part of my brain screaming, good God, just make the decision. Those times, that's not how it works. We still talk with them. Things where sure. we're mutually deciding, hey, we don't know what we want to do. Let's talk with this. Of course, please, yeah. God, y'all talk about it together. But if I've spent the past 6 months brooding on something,
mm-hmm.
I would tell you in total good faith, I have thought through this whole thing. I can't make a decision here.
Yeah.
But that's not, for us at least, going to work. We correct. Have to talk it through.
Sure.
And it is another layer of communication. In mm-hmm. some ways, it depends on what it is that you're going through and you're thinking about and that it's got you all anxious. But in some ways, to me, it's the easiest type of communication. The harder types are anything where I'm trying to communicate what I want. Like, I know I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not comfortable saying, I want this thing. Those are difficult. Expressing negative emotions if I'm upset. Those are still difficult to do, even for me, even now. Well, they're less difficult than they used to be. I've learned how to let the sass out in those moments. But on a let's rank what is difficult, what is easy to communicate about kind of thing, being able to trust your dominant partner enough to say,
yeah.
I'm going through this thing and I do not have an answer for it. And can you just decide for me? Is a much easier conversation to have now than almost anything else. Now, in the beginning, it was not necessarily easy because there was still that rapport and trust being built where I didn't know if he would even be willing to take on the topic, have the conversation, let alone make a decision. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in the early stages of negotiating how y'all will deal with things and when you'll go to your dominant partner for what, it might not feel that easy yet. But of all the things we have to talk about, me saying, here's the weirdness in my head, could you help me solve it,
right,
is one of the easier conversations to have. But when you can have those conversations and work through them in whatever way you work through them, it also adds to your experience of, hey, look, I talked to my partner about this thing. The world did not end. Mm-hmm. They still think I'm pretty cool. Oh, so maybe next time I have a thing I need to talk about, it will be a little bit easier. You've now got experience that tells you I can talk to my partner about this thing. And if you can't talk to your partner about the things going on in your head, where you're struggling, things you need help with, either something broke down in the negotiation part of your relationship with the understanding you have with each other, or two, that might not be the best dominant partner you ever had, because the reason DS works, this is to me one of like our most basic tenets, is the ability and the willingness to communicate, to speak and to listen. Both sides have to be willing to do that. You don't have to be good at it. You just have to be willing to try. And if you have a partner, dom or sub, that's like, I don't want to hear about your problems. Excuse me? How can you effectively be my partner if you don't understand what the hell I'm going through?
Right.
And if that is their reaction, both of you check yourself about what you negotiated, because there could be a misunderstanding. It could be that that dominant is like, no, I'm here to do this thing. I'm a rigger. I'm impact play. I'm going to do this kinky scene, but we are not bearing our souls in between. And that's a legitimate way to work something out.
Yeah.
And that might be a miscommunication. But if you are like, no, I thought this was a give and take and we're in a long-term relationship, and speaking and listening are like basics, and your dominant doesn't have to have an answer for problems. Sometimes they won't, quite frankly.
Right. But like what I did, I listened.
Right. Exactly. And that was ended up being exactly what I needed.
Right.
Which was very frustrating. Well, okay. So there I am.
You can't always get what you want.
But sometimes get what you need. Okay, so, because the story doesn't end there. So I am being my anxious, messy self, and I'm talking through all of the things that are on my mind and what I'm anxious about and what's got me worried. And it's all work-related, and it's all the fears I have of, am I going to get everything done before we go to London? And that I go through this every year. I go through this before every vacation. Somebody pointed that out, that I go through this every time I'm about to take time off from work.
Yeah.
I convince myself I can't get it done. I'm still not completely convinced I can't get it done, but we're doing better. And I kind of have like a meltdown where I hit a wall and I can't function until I can function again.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was that. But then as I was talking through the messiness in my head, it finally dawned on me. And it's not like it dawned. I mean, like, if you have something dawn on you, it's like a slow realization that kind of bubbles up from nowhere, and then it's like the light gets brighter. No, this was, my ass knew this, but I didn't want to admit it to myself or anybody else. So the reason I'm so stressed is because I have a project that I've known about for 3 months, and I decided to get it done in 3 weeks instead of the 3 months I had. And that is only my own fault. I have nobody to blame. My fault. So all this stress I'm under, like this extra stress.
Self-inflicted.
Yeah. My fault. And I don't know what it is about the way I'm wired, but the moment I realized that, the anxiety just vanished like smoke. I was like, oh, this is not outside forces conspiring against me.
No.
This is my dumb ass conspiring against me. It's my procrastinating ass that's conspiring against me. And once I had that moment, you didn't tell me to do anything. You said very little.
Right.
You did You laid there naked in the bed staring at me. That is what you did up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talked. And then I realized.
Oh, and by the way.
Yes.
I'm not in your insurance, you'll be getting a full bill for the therapy session.
No, you got your payment. Because let me tell you what happened next.
Yes.
So, had the conversation, which is the thing I can recommend to anybody and everybody. Like, my situation is going to be different from your situation, but God, mm-hmm. please talk it out with your partner. Just talk it through. And dominant partners, sit there, be sweet, don't say much unless there's a reason to say something. Let people talk it through. Okay, that's the advice for this whole thing. Talk. So I get to that point and I go, oh shit, I've done this to myself. And I'm angry with myself. And that anger burned through all the anxiety. I was pissed. I was like, I know this is true, but I hadn't thought about it in these terms. And oh my God, I have fucked myself. Oh my God. So we talked through that and he's like, you need to calm down. You're not going to go to sleep if you stay this angry. I am so mad. So I calm down and I go and I'm laying there. And now I'm not feeling anxious. I'm tired at this point. Just talked for a solid hour. And I'm like, there's something missing. There's something.
Mm-hmm.
I need something more.
One piece to the puzzle that didn't quite fit.
It was undone. Like there was no just rolling over and going to sleep. Something had to be done. And I guess we were both feeling it.
Yeah.
Somebody had, you know, gotten excited about getting me to use my words. So he didn't say anything. And I finally went, I need something. And he goes, oh. And I said, I don't want to have to say it.
She used up all her words.
I used up all my words. I said, but I'll show you. And he goes, okay. And so I like made him move and reposition him. And then I threw myself across his lap.
Literally.
Literally. And I went, okay, spank my ass, please. Now, we've said this before. If you're submissive, I'll just remind you of this. Be careful what you ask for. What I wanted... What I hoped I was getting was a nice, methodical, heavy, over-the-knee spanking, barehanded spanking, no paddles, no toys, no nothing, just that nice rhythmic, deep, oh God, I'm like getting excited just thinking about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I got instead was what felt like, and you'll have to tell me if this is how you interpret it. Felt like it was the spanking I really needed for not getting my act together 3 months ago.
Ding,
like
ding, it was ding, a ding, punishment. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. He focused on, and if you're not into spankings, this might mean very little to you, but if you are, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's focused on one ass cheek,
mm-hmm.
one spot,
yep,
one pace, and all his fucking strength behind it. And we got to like, what, the ninth swat? And I finally went, no, I'm done. Tapping out.
You tapped out.
This is not what I had meant when I threw myself across your lap. So there's that too.
Definitely wasn't a punishment, that's for sure.
It was not punishment though. It did feel like you were sending a message.
Yeah, a little.
And I was okay with that too. I was okay with that too. So, you know, if you need another reason to spill your guts out to your partner, it might end in the kinky fuckery you didn't know you needed until you got it. If I can offer any other words of wisdom there. My belief is,
mm-hmm.
in general, we all have different lives and we all handle things differently.
Right.
And the DS dynamic we have, if we are in a relationship at all, is unique to each of us. Yes to all of that. But I firmly believe, whether it's on occasion or it's all the time, that there will be moments that your DS dynamic, in a strict interpretation of your DS dynamic, whatever your power exchange is, however you normally deal with situations of who makes decisions, will not always overlap and just fit into any situation you're in. There will be some situations where you can't just be told what to do and have that be the right answer. I think it's truly a reality of DS relationships.
Yeah.
And I think in general, especially if you're a single submissive, you're already having to go through life without a dominant telling you what to do, and you're probably going to have that feeling of, God, I just wish somebody told me what the hell to do more often than not. And for single submissives, I was only single for about 5 minutes. I'm not going to pretend I have a massive amount of experience with this. But to me, that was when, yeah, I wanted something to be a certain way, but the, this was the reality, and I had to figure it out to the best of my ability. And what's ironic to me is that it's in this conversation, in this situation, that I'm realizing that the things that I used to help myself when I didn't have a dominant, even before I even knew I needed a dominant, are still the things that work today, which is find somebody you trust and talk through the problem. Talk it out. Get it out of your head. I love to write things down into journal, and that does usually kind of keep the noise down in my head. But sometimes a problem is just too big or too complicated, or you've just been thinking about it for too damn long, and it's time to have a conversation with somebody you trust. And they don't have to be a dominant. They don't even have to be kinky. They just need to be somebody that you feel comfortable enough with.
What you really needed in the end the other night was to be able to talk it through and fit the pieces together yourself.
Right. And have a person that I'm comfortable with, who loves me, not necessarily romantically, I'll just cares about me as a human being, to give me that space to, if I asked a direct question, to offer their opinion, and then to still respect me enough, love me enough, care about me enough to not be so invested in whatever I decided that they could support whatever I decided. Right. I mean, that's the harder part. If my decisions were going to negatively impact John Brownstone, he was going to have much bigger opinion about what happened, what the outcome was. And so then there could be considered a right or a wrong. But in this situation, it was more of a, this is my own conundrum. I mean, I am so sorry to YouTube watchers. My nose itches so bad. Yeah. I think we might have some pollen in the air today. Oh my gosh. So that is normal stuff. That's how friends are with each other. That's how people who don't have power exchanges, hopefully, can be with each other. It's how good relationships based on friendship of any kind can and should be. But we tend to forget that in DS. People get very strict with their thinking. They're like, well, you're the dominant and I'm the submissive, and so you're always in charge. And when that works, as long as that's the dynamic you want, that's great. But it can't possibly work for every single situation ever. There are going to be times where you can't just tell somebody what to do or be told what to do. You're going to have to work it through either together or on your own. And there might not even be a clear right answer.
No.
I mean, ultimately, there was no answer at all to what was on my mind. None. Because the answer was the answer I already had, and this is the answer I didn't want, which is I just got to buckle down and get the work done and go my ass to London. That was the answer, and I already knew that answer. So there was nothing to be told to me about what I was supposed to do anyway, even though that was the urge I had. That was what I kept telling myself. I just want somebody to tell me what to do. What was he going to tell me? You have work to do, Kayla. Go fucking do it. I knew that already. I knew. So that's another thing. Some things don't have clear answers, even as we're desperate for somebody just to tell us what to do. So I think that most of us know this stuff. We just don't necessarily think about it in these terms. Mm-hmm. I don't even always think about it in these terms, but it's been something that we've been sort of living with and dealing with and working through. And I won't lie, there are still moments I'm like, would somebody else somebody give me an instruction manual. If you just give me a list of instructions to follow, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want. And then I think, no, that's too much like having a boss. I don't like that shit. I'm over that. But so fill in the blank with your situation. Yeah. Ours was work-related. It could be parenting. It could be caregiving. It could be your job. It could be anything.
Right.
Anything. But something will come up in your life at some point, if it has not yet, where your strict DS is not going to be enough. You're going to have to dig deep for other ways to solve the problem, no matter what you think you want to solve that problem. And my nose itches so bad. Oh, my God. Ah!
All right.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I know. I know nobody is shocked that, Kayla could talk for a solid hour about something on her mind? Never. Always. Weekly, quite frankly.
Pretty much.
Okay. So before we go into our official bonus section, let's see who is with us live. We have a few people. Buttercup Faith, hello.
Hello.
And Heather, hello. Hi. And Live Simple Bloom Wildly. Mm-hmm. First time watching us live, so yay.
Welcome.
Zelda. I love that name. couldn't stay, but wanted to drop by and say hi, and I love you, and we love you too. Rachel, hello. Rachel. And Kathleen. Ooh, okay, sorry. I feel weird because I'm looking at the camera, I'm looking at the screen. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Moments of Choices situations is very real. I like that. So what Kathleen has said is that she'll talk something out with her partner to get his sense of what I want, and then he'll advise the opposite. And so then that gets her to make the choice that he wanted. I think we call that reverse psychology, right? You do that shit to me, don't you? Do you do that? You do that to me. He does that to me. I just don't realize it's happening. And Heather says that she can't make a decision without talking to her partner first, not as a rule, but as just part of the relationship. And I agree. We have gotten into such a way with ourselves. Because in my mind, you're the decider anyway.
Right.
But there's... No, I'm not going to... We, case in point, before we start recording, I'm potentially going to renegotiate some things with clients that I have that will change my work life. I think for the better, but it will also change the income. Haha, guess who is not making that decision without having a conversation with John Brownstone first? And I prefer to talk things out with you before. I mean, even if it's going to be my decision anyway, I like having that input. I like knowing that you're on the same page with me too.
That's just it. It gives you an outlet. It's one thing to have something rolling around in your head. Sometimes when you actually put voice to what's going on up there, it offers yourself a different perspective.
Yes.
Or you may think, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was.
Oh, that happens to me all the time. It's huge in my head. I say it out loud and I go, oh, what was I worried about?
It gives you not necessarily somebody to tell you what to do, but it may give you a different perspective on something.
Which is why if you're single, you don't need a dominant partner for this. You need a trusted friend is who you need. And you can get the same results, especially if they happen to be that kind of friend who's got a little bit of a dominant streak in them. You can kind of get that vibe from them. I've had some friends who are, one in particular. She is a little dominant, but very dominant. And sometimes can't help herself and will just tell me what she thinks I should do. But she knows I'm not going to do that. But she gives off this vibe. And so I'll be like, she was who I was talking to the weekend I decided to get a divorce.
Ah.
And she did exactly for me then what you do for me now, which is she just let me talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to the decision. And then she went, I've been waiting for you to figure that out.
See?
So... Yes, you do not necessarily need a dominant partner. You just need somebody who will listen to you. And I think that's it. We have a very little bonus section, a couple of things.
Yeah.
We didn't get mail, but I've got for the podcast listeners, the announcement you might not have seen for the thing we're doing on YouTube now. And for everybody, talk for a minute about an interview I did.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to do in the bonus section.
So are we good?
I think so. Yeah, as good as we're ever going to be.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. And next week is the last week we'll be airing before we take our hiatus. So there you go.
That's true.
I know, we got one more week, and then we go. Okay, so real quick, I want to give our Patreon shout out to Kalina and Jay, and I'm going to read this because I always say this wrong, but I love Jay's name, Conduit of Queerness Itself. Love that. Thank y'all for being our shout out patrons. Kinky patrons can be found at patreon.com/KaylaLords. And like I said at the top, if you heard that part, depending on which way you're listening to us, if you try to search Kayla Lords through Patreon, the website, or the app, you will not find us. We are unsearchable because we're adult content. We're that dirty, dirty adult content.
We're that dirty little secret.
We are. So you actually have to go directly to it, use the link, whatever, type in the URL. So I did. Last week, I did an interview. So I did an interview for a podcast. The podcast was called 13. It is part of a larger podcast called the, I think it's USRY Network, USRY Network. I'm going to link to it in the show notes for anybody who's interested. So it's a true crime investigative podcast series based in Mississippi, which I was interested in because I've got family in Mississippi, lived in Mississippi for several years, go there twice a year, minimum. So he reached out because the true crime investigation cold case thing that he's doing this podcast on, one of the people involved in the story is thought to be part of the BDSM lifestyle, and he wanted to talk to, as he put it, I am not putting it this way, a quote, expert on BDSM. Y'all know I would never call myself an expert on BDSM. I'm barely an expert on myself, but that's okay. So he and I arranged a conversation, and I had to pace the living room while I was on the phone because I was so nervous. And then I want to go on record. I want everybody to know I did not drop an F-bomb in that whole interview. I remembered who I was talking to and where this was going. Yeah. And I was like, I might be, for whoever's listening to this dude's podcast, I might be the only person they ever hear speak about BDSM in their whole life. I've got to make my mama proud. My mother, who will, I'm, like I said, I turned 40 this year, and will look at me sometimes and go, language. So he did. He asked some, you know, basic questions. What constitutes healthy BDSM? So I got to plug consent and communication. Talked about the internet and how we find each other now. Talked about, like, what, you know, predatory behavior. And so it was pretty good. And then I gave him, like, apparently tons of stuff to work with because he narrowed it down to, like, 6 or 7 minutes of his podcast episode. But I will link to that if you're interested. Especially if you're into true crime. I'm not into true crime podcasts. I listen to history podcasts, and I listen to political podcasts, and I listen to marketing podcasts because that's what I listen to. But I know some people are really into it, so hopefully the story he's telling is pretty good. But I'll link to it if you're interested. So that's one of the things that happened this week that was really cool. And then the other thing, which we've been teasing in the podcast for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
We finally made it happen. And anybody on YouTube who's either watching this live stream or watching the video later probably already knows. We actually put out our very first vlog episode video.
Yeah.
In my interpretation, some people think anytime you get in front of the camera, you're vlogging, and I don't believe that. I think that typically vlogging is the behind the scenes or the day in the life or the here's what we're doing, not let me sit in front of the camera and share information. I would not call this a vlog. I would not call our 5 things you need to know a vlog. But this to me was a vlog because we carried our cameras around all day long.
Yep.
Recorded each other. I'm so old, I want to say filmed. There's no film involved. The 13-year-old does not understand why I keep trying to say filmed. He's like, film? What? Recorded. We did it from our phones, so it was like really low tech. There were a couple of moments where there were a couple things I wanted that should have been John Brownstone, and he talked so softly. It's like, we have to get you an external mic. You're not allowed to talk, especially across the room. There is a section where he's folding laundry. And I edited it. And so it was, you know, whatever. And I bumped the volume up on that as loud as iMovie let me. Probably still very quiet. But it was a really good section because he's just chatting with you while he's folding laundry. I was like, how many times? I did not do this on purpose, by the way. But this is what ended up happening. I was cutting parts that, you know, where he wasn't saying anything or he was repeating himself or whatever. But every one of those parts is when he was folding his underwear. And I was like, I'm not cutting out John Brownstone folding his own underwear on purpose. But it does seem like I'm cutting out John Brownstone folding his own underwear on purpose. We are intending to do more of these. But one, because I'm still new to it. Two, because you're taking a day's worth of recorded footage and mushing it together. It is very labor intensive. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
And that's with my really sad editing skills and iMovie. I'm not even using like the good stuff. I'm using very basic programs and very minimal skills. I actually had to put notes up on the screen a couple of times. Like somehow I zoomed in on my face in post-production editing, and I not only don't know how I did it, I couldn't undo it. Not without putting, like, re-editing the entire section. I went, oh, I'm not doing that. So I popped up a little note when my face got really big in the screen of, I don't know why that happened either.
Kayla Lords, up close and personal.
So we, the people who have watched it so far have given great feedback. Y'all have, I mean, I was very nervous to put it out, and people were really, really kind and really enjoyed it. And we are going to do more. But I'm not committing to a schedule on those.
No.
At all. They just take, it's a whole day or longer of recording, where there's that. And then there's like hours of mm-hmm. editing and dealing with the
editing.
Well,
we probably will when we go to.
No, we're definitely going to do it when we go to London.
Yeah.
And I've already got, I don't know when, but I already know that if one day when we have like a lot of errands to do, we'll probably do one. Because here's the premise of the whole thing. I forgot to say that to anybody. We're calling it Our DS Life. Mm-hmm. Ours, because yours will look different than ours does. But it's this idea that we talk a lot about what DS can look like and what it is, mm-hmm. what it means to us. But this is our efforts, hopefully, once we get better at this, to show what that looks like. So sometimes it will be DS to us, and you wouldn't know it if I didn't explain it to you. And sometimes it won't be DS-y at all. And it's just how we interact with one another. It's how we roll. And so that was sort of the premise. So especially with a lot of the things we have coming up, mm-hmm. Where we have to work together and talk to each other and make decisions in ways where our DS overlaps all of that. It's threaded through all of that. It's mm-hmm. a part of all of that, but it's not that strict. I'm the Dom. I'm going to tell you what to do. You're the submissive. You're going to do it. It's, we have to like discuss these things, and we have to work within our individual strengths. Like, we're going to be working around the house a lot after we get back from London. Like, I truly cannot take on any extra projects until we get moved, because we've got to work around the house. And that's going to require him telling me what to do, but me saying, hey, I think this is how we should do this. And that's the nature of how our DS mm-hmm. works. So we want to give people a peek into that, as well as like explaining it to you. So the first one, people were very kind about. It's, you know, it was sort of gratifying. Like I said, I was terrified. I was so terrified. And hopefully they'll get better with time. But I'm not like, our five things you want to know, that goes out every week. Podcast right. and live stream, they go out every week. An archive video, in case you didn't know, podcast listeners, we're taking the archive and making them friendly for YouTube. And so YouTube users can get the archive too. And that goes out every week until we catch up. And so like all those things, they're weekly except when we're on hiatus, but the vlog, I cannot commit to it. You want to know how I could commit to doing it more?
How?
If I had less freaking clients. And if, if my job was to be Kayla Lords, loving BDSM co-host and, blogger and vlogger and all that stuff, if that was my job and that's where our income came from, oh my God, you would get... I would do challenges like daily vlogs, not all the time, but you know,
yeah.
But it's just, that's not how it works right now. So I have only got 24 hours and eventually John Brownstone makes me go to sleep.
Yes.
So, but yeah, that's what we did this week. Mm-hmm. And, we will, if anybody cares, we will have a special behind the scenes podcast episode for our kinky patrons.
Right.
And that is where we talk about our business stuff we're doing. And there are a couple things I am going to talk about there first before we talk about them mm-hmm. publicly. But don't worry, you'll always find out about it, even if you can't be a patron. We tell everybody eventually. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And I contend, like I did at the top of this, that I totally take a coffee sponsor. Somebody want?
I'm good with that.
I would wear their t-shirts. I would use their mugs. I would, if I liked their coffee, I would drink their mm-hmm. coffee. Totally pimp them out. Just saying. I'm putting it out into the universe. I saw a sex blogger do this. She said, I'm just putting this out in the universe. Somebody should interview me for their podcast. And then we actually got tagged. I was like, shit, we don't do interviews yet. It's mm-hmm. another thing on our list. So, you know, I responded so that they would know that we saw it. And I was like, oh, but we love writers and you're a blogger. But I was like, you know what? I need to put more shit out into the universe.
See?
Coffee sponsor.
Yep. Bring it on.
Send us your coffee to taste. If we love it, we could talk. Just saying. Just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. Especially if it's good coffee. Because mm-hmm. our coffee habit is expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And we have enough coffee for the coffee apocalypse. Except that's dwindling down because we've been using it. Y'all, this is nothing about nothing, but now we're talking about coffee. Every month, we drink a lot of iced coffee. And now that the weather's warming back up here in Florida, it might not be where you are, but here in Florida, it's warming up. It's very hot today. We buy from Sam's Club. That's like a Costco, if you're familiar with it. We buy bulk ground coffee every month. Like a how many pound bag?
2 pound.
2 pound bag.
2.5, actually.
Just to make our cold brew iced coffee that we drink at home, which is not, is in addition to whatever we buy while we're out for iced
coffee. For hot coffee.
And for hot coffee.
Yeah.
2.5 pounds a month of ground coffee we go through for our at-home cold brew habit, which is in addition to our Starbucks habit, which we do not go to Starbucks every day. We do go a few times a week. And our hot coffee habit, which my hot coffee habit is it cold outside? I'll consider hot coffee. Is it not cold outside? I'm drinking hot coffee. You have a daily hot coffee
habit. I have hot coffee every day, regardless.
It'd be 100 degrees outside. We'd be on the surface of the sun. He's like, I'm sorry, I have to start my day with hot coffee. I know the coffee cup is melting, but I need you to like, get me some hot coffee.
Just drink it quicker that way.
And then you never have to worry about it going cold.
And yet, on the other side of that coin, no matter how cold it got here this winter, I still had iced coffee.
So did I. Sometimes two or three a day. I don't know how we're going through 2.5 pounds. Y'all, we make our cold brew. We need to do a vlog one day about our coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's on the list, y'all. It's on the list. But let me just describe this to you. So we found, like at random, a year or so ago, a home cold brew coffee system, which is literally a gigantic, massive mason jar. 32 ounce? Bigger? 64 ounce? It's a big mason jar.
I don't remember.
And you put something inside it called a coffee sock. It's from the company Coffee Sock. And you put your grounds in, and you do your water, and you blah, 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 and you let it sit, and it becomes cold brew. We started drinking so much of it, we had to buy an extra one.
Yes.
And we keep a rotation of cold brew coffee.
I am making a jar of cold brew coffee literally every day.
And if it's not ready and made, somebody not named John Brownstone is complaining. And for the record, I may be the coffee submissive. I make sure his coffee pot is ready. I make him a coffee whenever he wants it. I ran and got our coffees today from Starbucks. Yes, this is the coffee dominant because he is in charge of cold brew. I tried making the cold brew, and it tasted like crap. Like, I don't know what I was doing to it. He starts making cold brew, and it tastes good. Because it tastes better when somebody else does it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But also, so there's a method to getting the sock of grinds out of this home cold brew system. And I'm not allowed to do it because somehow I get coffee everywhere.
On
me.
Oh, good.
On the counter. God. On the floor.
Good. Yeah, no, so it's not pretty.
When there's a desperate need for iced coffee, I have pulled him out of his seat and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to need you to do this.
Now, once I make the cold brew and I take the sock out and I do all that, then the job's on you.
Oh, preparing it with the sweetener and the cream and the whatever I'm putting in it? That's my job.
Yeah, it is.
I can make a delicious fucking cup of coffee. And you know what? My dad told me that years ago, when I was like a teenager, because John Brownstone is the one who got me on coffee, y'all. 34?
Yeah.
I think the first time I had a cup of coffee. This dude, right here, 35 maybe. I don't know.
You're welcome.
But I'd been like getting my dad's cup of coffee ready. Not like as a rule. It's like sometimes it'd be helpful. Like, oh, do you need some more cream in your coffee? Oh, yeah, whatever. And so I would help him. And then my dad had ALS, when he died, and so he still had a coffee habit. Somebody had to make his coffee. If it wasn't my mom, it was me. And for years, I had never had a taste of coffee in my life. And he was like, you make a really good cup of coffee. Apparently, it's a talent I have.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knew? Who the hell knew?
Many times I've had a coffee-gasm drinking your coffee.
I'm good with that. Yeah. And yes, we will do a vlog on our coffee because we actually have a row of sugar-free coffee syrups for our coffee. And I don't want to tell you how much creamer we go through in a month.
Okay.
And we'll do a vlog. It will not be soon. Do not like get your hopes up, but we will do one.
Probably won't be till after we get back.
Right. Probably won't be till after London, but we will do one because I'm putting it out in the universe. Coffee company just needs to sponsor us.
Yeah.
Pay me in coffee and money. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm totally good. Anyway.
And if you're curious about the cold brew system we use, it's called the Coffee Sock.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to do a vlog on it. I don't know when, but we will. We will. We will. Oh, and if anybody cares and you're like, oh, there's bits and pieces of your life we'd like to see, feel free to send us ideas for vlogs. We know we're going to do one from London. It might it will either be one really long one or it'll be a few that we break up.
Break up, yeah.
Probably that. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to do one on coffee now. Our coffee, mm-hmm. our day in coffee. Oh my God. I want to do one on a day when we have a lot of errands to run because we are kind of funny when we're out doing errands.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have little quirks. But if there are other things that you've heard us talk about, I know somebody has already requested to see the dog Socky. He is a chill old dude, shows up when he wants to.
Right.
so yeah, there will be little things, but if there's anything you want to see, let us know and we'll add it to our list. Okay.
All right.
I think that's it.
I think we're good.
We're as good as we're going to be.
Yeah.
Vaguely, sort of.
All right.
Heather says we might not consider ourselves experts, but she considers us big names in the world. We are okay-sized fish in a smaller pond, and we're okay with that. We kind of like it that way. Benjamin, get paid. Get your money.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Always. No, not bros. No. There's an expression, and I was going to say it so wrong, and I'm not going to. and thank you, Buttercup Faith, for liking the vlog.
Yeah.
Once I got over my nerves, I really do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
All right.
I have rambled for a very long time.
You have? Rambling, ranting, submissive?
This time is a rambling. Ranting. I didn't really rant.
No, you
this
didn't.
This week. I rambled.
Didn't. You did ramble.
Because that's what I do.
Ranting, rambling, you know. It's.
Yes. Oh, and if you can't tell, us more and more t-shirts are like coming up. I'm on the hunt for t-shirts. There is, as soon as I actually buy a set of t-shirts, there's a company, a Teespring site run by a kinkster whose name I will totally say wrong. I always say Ignixia. I don't know how they actually say their name. I have not heard it said out loud. They are a kinkster, I believe Florida based, and they have a Teespring, Tee Public, Tee. One of those t-shirt shops. Hold on. I have it pulled up.
Oh, goodness.
Teespring. I was right. Okay. I'm going to buy a couple of shirts we will end up wearing on an episode. Kink-based shirts.
Okay.
So we will be doing that too. So if you know of that person online, and if you don't, we'll be linking to them when we wear I got to buy the shirts though. So that's coming too. But yeah, shirts are now my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I haven't had enough coffee.
No. And we probably need to let these people.
I know. We have other things we have to do, too.
We do.
Damn it.
Got a car in the shop I need to pick up.
And we have another video to make.
Yes.
And then we have other stuff to do. And then there's children who have to be picked up. We're going to go now.
Bye, everybody.
We love you guys.